Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again this afternoon, as we turn to the Word of God, I would ask each of you to be in a spirit of prayer, that it would be, as our brother has prayed, God, by His Holy Spirit, would open His Word to us and our hearts to receive the truth of that Word, because it's that Word and the truth therein that will set us free, free to serve Him, and free to serve one another as He has called us to do. For our text this afternoon, I felt the Lord lead me to the first chapter of Ephesians, and prayerfully we'll consider what the Lord has for us this afternoon from these verses, praying again that it would be by His Spirit that we would be edified and strengthened in our faith and belief. Reading then as follows from Ephesians, first chapter, beginning with the first verse, as follows in Jesus' name. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of all our sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also you also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in which also after that, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Amen. These are thy words, Heavenly Father, and these are your people. Sanctify us today in your word, for your word is truth indeed. Amen. I can't help but reminisce a little bit as I come here to New York Mills this year, thinking back over the years of being through here on many different occasions, but thinking back further also, reminded of the fact that the first convention that I remember attending, I was the age of some of you little ones down here. I was 9 years old in Hawkinson in 1947. So now you can probably figure out my age. Then I remember coming in my teen years. I see many of you teens here, and I know your interests, yes, are in the service, but your interests are elsewhere also. And I remember that time in my life where we were quite obvious of the girls that were there as our young fellows, and I know you girls likewise. And thinking that what a good place to be, not just to hear the word of God, but be exposed to the fellowship of believers and get to know others of like faith. It's very critical and important in life that when you pray and ask the Lord for a mate, that you have a common faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Probably nothing more important. In fact, the scripture warns us pretty carefully about don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And how important a thing that is, that we pray that the Lord would lead us to the right ones. And I thank God in my life that He has led me to believing spouses. And I thank the Lord for that. Some of you probably don't know that I lost my first wife to cancer after 30 years of marriage. And the Lord was gracious enough to bring another beautiful Christian lady into my life. And now we've been married for 16 years. So we just thank the Lord for His blessings in so many ways. But I think of the influences in my life that conventions have had. I would have to say, since the 1950s, there's not very many conventions that I've missed. And I thank the Lord for those opportunities and the friendships that I've developed over the years. And it's kind of interesting because when I come back here to this area of Minnesota, I see so many people that I know by face, but now I'm at the age where the name just won't come to attach to that face. So I pray for your pardon and forgiveness, that you understand that I'm not as young as I used to be either. But we pray that God would bless us, and that when we're here in this time together, we would just be open to what the Lord has to teach us. One of the themes that have been coming to me more and more lately as I've been turning to the Word of God is the theme of who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, some of you have heard me speak recently will say, well, yeah, I've heard that before. Well, you probably will. But in reality, I believe this is very important because we tend to see ourselves as we are in the flesh. And because of that, we don't really see ourselves as God sees us. We don't see ourselves as who we are and what Scripture tells us, who we are in Christ. And because of what Christ has done for us, who we are and how He sees us. He sees you and I. If our faith and trust is in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us on that cross of Calvary, in giving His life, in shedding His blood, He sees us as saints, as totally forgiven, as saints. Now, when you think about that, you say, well, I know I'm no saint. But in Christ Jesus, and if your faith and trust is in Him and what His blood has done to cover you from your sin, you are indeed a saint. And in this book of Ephesians and so many other places, I would like to have read the whole chapter and a few others, that tells us a little bit more of who we are in Christ Jesus. I want us to emphasize some of these thoughts today. And the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, points out some of these things. First of all, it says he calls himself an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he says, by the will of God. And how many times in these few verses even I read that it says This was God's plan. It was God's purpose to call us out of a world of darkness into His light. It was His plan to do His work in our hearts. These hearts of flesh, these hearts of stone, these lives that are so concentrated on so many other things in life. Yet God has chosen us to be a living example of what it's like to live for Jesus in our world. Because Jesus Himself lives in us. This power is in us. It's not of our own, and all of us recognize that. But I think we focus too much on the reality of who we are apart from Christ. And we see our sinfulness, and we see our pride, and we see that in others all around us. And we say, well, they're Christians, and they act like that. And I wonder sometimes how people see us. One time I heard a saying that says, that was said in a very thick Scottish brogue, and I won't try to repeat that, but it said, oh, if we could only see ourselves as others see us. If we could only see ourselves as others see us. Well, I think it's more important that we see ourselves as Christ sees us, as God sees us. And here in Ephesians, Paul talks about that he has been made an apostle because of God's will, because it was God's plan and God's purpose to change his life from being a persecutor of believers to one who would actually be a preacher of the gospel. And now he's directing this letter to the saints that are at Ephesus, to a group of believers like are gathered here today. And he calls them saints, which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Again, where is their hope and faith? But in Christ Jesus. And he greets them with these common greetings that we use. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Is that what it really says? It says, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Or actually, in the heavenlies. This places is probably in italics in your Bible, and it's there for a reason to kind of explain it. The original term actually says, in the heavenlies. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now, these are words also that have been coming out to me more and more as I read the scriptures. How many times it says who we are in Christ, and how many times these terms are used. In Christ, how important that is. What are some of these spiritual blessings that we have even today? First of all, to recognize that I have not chosen him. He has chosen me. You have not chosen to become a believer. You have not made a decision to become a believer. Unless God has worked that in you by his will. For it is God who works in you, the scripture says, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We hear quite a bit today about this decision theology, and it really it's kind of, to me, an emphasis on what I have done rather than what Christ has done. Not that it's wrong, it's just putting the emphasis kind of in the wrong place. Because as Paul says here, it's not what I have done, it's what God has done that I am now able to be a disciple and you may be chosen by him. He has received, and we have received, all of these spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Because now, where is Christ? Where is Jesus? Scripture tells us, and the Bible tells me, and he tells you, that he is in you. If you're a believer, Christ is in you. And you are in him. And his Holy Spirit is working in you his will. We heard last night our brother talk about, well, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Walk by the Spirit. And this is what we see so often. If we're in Christ and He is in us, we have His Spirit in us. We don't have to wonder if we need more of His Spirit. Sometimes in the first years of my ministry, there was this emphasis going around is that everybody needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I began to search the Scripture and ask the question, well, how much more of Christ can we receive? If we have Christ, we have all of Him. We don't have part of Him. We have all of Him. The question became to me, does He really have all of me? Have I yielded control? And so the emphasis comes back on what I do. And I realized that wasn't the right emphasis either. But rather, Lord, help me by faith to just believe and trust Your word and what You want to do in me. And where those unclean ways are in me, Lord, cleanse me and use me. That became my prayer. But notice what else he says is. Says here. He says, accordingly, as He has chosen us in Him. He has chosen us in Christ. When? When did He choose you? Some of you know already what the rest of that verse says. Before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. How did He do that? How could we be in Christ before the foundation of the world? You see, God, who knows all things, had planned also your and my salvation. That was already in God's plan. He knew that man was going to sin. He knew that we would need a Savior. And He provided for that. And we realize when we look back how the Scripture tells us very clearly how that was provided for in the death and the resurrection of our Lord. But in His death, He paid the penalty for our sin. And in His resurrection, He overcame death, hell, and the devil. He did that, and He is doing that in you and in me today. And as long as we believe, that's His work that He is doing in us. In Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Holy and without blame. How often do we point this finger of accusation, not just at our own hearts for our own sinfulness and corruption, but how often also do we point them at others because of things that we see that we think may not be quite right in their life? We're pretty good at that, pointing and blaming others. But it tells us that we better look within. And He has done this so that we would be holy and without blame before Him. God wants us to see ourselves as holy and without blame before Him, before Christ. How does He see us without blame? How does He see you and I without sin? He sees us through the blood of Jesus. It's only through that blood of Jesus that we are cleansed and that He sees us as clean, as He sees us as holy. He sees us as righteous. You see, we can't see ourselves like that. We see ourselves as this sinful being, and we know our thoughts are deceitful. They're wicked. We have all sorts of those type of thoughts. And yet God sees us as holy. And He's provided for that holiness in Christ. And that's why He always says, in Christ you have this holiness. In Christ you are perfect. In Christ you are blameless. Can you see yourself in Christ as blameless before God today? See, that's what His word tells us. So do we believe our own hearts or do we believe the word of God? I prefer to ask the Lord to give me the faith to believe His word instead of what my own heart can tell me. So he says he has predestined us. In fact, he has predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Again, notice how it says, according to the good pleasure of whose will? His will. It was God's will to choose us in him before the foundation of the world to be in Christ. He has done this to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Again, you notice all the emphasis on who has made us acceptable? Who has made us accepted in Christ? Christ himself. Jesus, who took our punishment. He took what we deserved on that cross. He bore the sin of the whole world to such an extent that when he bore the weight of that sin, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because the very Father in heaven had to turn his face from him at that moment because he represented the sins of all mankind, including yours and including mine. So that we would never have to be forsaken by God. He bore that for us. And he tells us also beyond that, that he was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. Think of that sometime. Because Christ is in me now. He gives me the power to resist the temptations that come in life. And they do come. And there will be temptations, and there continues to be temptations. I remember my father in his late 90s saying that he kind of thought that when he was younger that the closer he got to eternity and those eternal shores that somehow life would get a little easier, maybe Satan would leave him alone. But I remember one time him saying and kind of shaking his head, he said, I remember an old Finnish minister that told me one time, he said, you know, on the sea, the shore or the waters get rougher nearer the shore. And he says, I'm experiencing Satan's temptations in ways you wouldn't believe. And he was close to 97. And I said, how can that be? You know, he's lived a Christian life for 80, 90 years for the most part. Now, how can that be that Satan won't leave him alone? See, but that's the devil's work. He'll continue to tempt us. But if Christ is in us, he gives us the power to resist. He has resisted every temptation thrown at him. Every temptation that Satan could throw at him, he resisted. He said, get behind me, Satan. Because it is written. We have that same power when we have Christ in us and he brings to mind the word of God. And we can say, Satan, get behind me. Because God tells me I can trust him. It doesn't matter what you tell me. He has a plan. He has a purpose for me. So we have redemption then. Notice he has chosen us. He's predestined us. And then it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sin. What a wonderful, wonderful assurance and blessing that we have redemption. You young people know what redemption means? Maybe some of the older people, we use, it's not a word that we use really commonly in our world today, but it actually means to buy back. Christ, with his blood, bought us back from Satan and his power. Satan and his power has no more authority over us. We've been bought back by the blood of Christ. We've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sin. Again, according to who? According to how much forgiveness do we have? It says, according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. And how much grace does God have? He has plenty of grace We sing these songs about the plenteous grace, the grace of our Lord. In other words, it doesn't mean that because of there's grace, as Paul told the Romans, well, if God is so gracious, can we just keep on going sinning? Keep on sinning? And what did Paul say? God forbid. Basically, horrified by the thought. No, that's not the way. If we have Christ in our heart, there's no desire for us to keep on following those paths of Satan, the paths of sin. We will want to renounce Satan and allow the word of Christ and his power to continue to work in us, because he has purchased that redemption with his blood. He paid his very life for us and shed that blood that we could believe. Not just when we hear the words proclaimed to us as in absolution, which are so precious to us, that we can believe those sins, those doubts, those failures forgiven and blotted out in the name and precious blood of our Lord. But even in other times, in every moment, we can say, Lord, I'm washed in the blood. Your blood has paid the penalty for my sin. And I believe because that's what your word tells me. I believe. And because we believe, that is ours. And that's where we have that righteousness, only by faith in what he has done. And not only has he done that, it says he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. In other words, that wisdom and knowledge of God overflows. So it's not just barely enough to cover our sins. It's not just barely enough to take care of us each day. It's far more than we ever need. Do you realize that every day that God has more grace than you can ever appropriate by faith? And you can also, by faith, appropriate it for others and pray that they would also believe. Because you know that Jesus Christ paid for the sins of the whole world? The whole world and every individual who has ever lived or ever will live. Now start thinking of millions and billions of people. Jesus Christ paid for every one of those sins. Is there abundant grace for yours and for mine? Most certainly there is. We should never doubt that. We should never doubt the fact that there's more than enough grace whenever we call out to God. He said, he hears. He hears. And he will answer with those words of assurance that we can, by faith, believe that he has done sufficient to cover us. It says he's made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Again, you see, whose idea is this? It's God's idea to do all this for us and in Christ, and to give us the very, as he goes on to say here later, the earnest, the down payment of this Spirit. We have this Spirit in us to continue to remind us not only of what Christ has done past, but what he is doing presently and what he'll continue to do in the future. Past, present, and future. He has taken care of it all. Not just the past. So many times we hear people just sort of living in the past. Well, I know that such and such a time and such a place I repented and believed the gospel and that's kind of it. Well, that was an important event, important situation. But life goes on. And we need to continue to, by faith, trust in him, to continue to believe that that blood is just as sufficient to cover me today as it was when I first believed. And it always will be. And it always will be. And that's the message we have to share to others who have not yet been given the grace to believe it. We can simply share that message that you can believe that Christ Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. You don't have to live with his guilt and with his shame because Jesus took care of that. And by putting your faith and trust in him, believing what he has done for you, that burden of sin and guilt can be taken away. You don't have to live with it. And even here today, if there's anybody carrying any weight or load of sin or guilt, you don't have to live with it. You don't have to let Satan keep on bothering you with it. The Holy Spirit may be prompting you to put it away, to share with someone who can proclaim to you the truth of what Jesus has done and say, you can believe that Jesus paid for those sins because of what he has done in his name, in his blood. You can believe that they're not only forgiven, but now you can receive his power in you, that you don't have to be bothered by the continual guilt that Satan throws at you, but you can have power to overcome when Satan tempts you, even in those same areas in the future. And I think this is really quite important. Even when we proclaim to many the absolution, that they can believe their sins forgiven, the Lord has led me to kind of add to that, not to add to the words of Christ, but that you can also believe that Christ's power is now in you to give you the grace and strength to overcome, especially if someone who's had a certain particular weakness or addiction or something like that, that you now, with Christ in you, you have the power to live a life that can, it, with Jesus, to overcome that problem, that difficulty, that addiction, whatever it may be. There's power in Christ. He is now in you, and in him you are a new creation. The scripture tells us old things are passed away. All things have become new because of that new person, the person and work of Jesus that's doing this in you. And because of this, he says, we have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance, we are all waiting for that time when we will inherit that eternal life and that place in heaven with him. But in the meantime, we're still in this world. We still have to live in this world. And I'm reminded of what the scripture says later in James. James says, show me your faith by what you do, basically by your works. And we don't really like that word works, but what he's really saying is your faith is demonstrated by your life, by how you live. Do you really show that compassion and that love like we heard about last night? Do we really realize that in us is the capacity to love others because of Christ in me? I can love others. Even if sometimes I may think I don't really like what they do or what they say or how they are, through Christ Jesus, I can love them. Because he says this is his new commandment. All the commandments are summed up, as we heard again. You love God with all your heart, but you love your neighbor as you love yourself. How can we possibly do that? Only in Christ and by his Spirit. The only way we can even begin to fulfill that in showing true Christian love to others is the power of Christ working in me, the power of Christ working in you. And that's why we as believers are left on this earth today, to show others that love by our life, to tell others of that love by our life and by our words, but by our actions as well. Sometimes our actions speak louder than our words. And we wonder why our words aren't heard. Maybe because our actions aren't backing up what our words are saying. We say we love, but we're hindered by this old flesh from demonstrating that love in very real ways to people. And how do we do that? By listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because when you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, he prompts you to care for others. He prompts you to show that care and concern and that love. Sometimes it's just merely a hug. Sometimes it's a call, a phone call or whatever. Nowadays, maybe a text message or whatever, however you may do that. But you can tell others very simply and clearly, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. I care for you. How many times do you have those promptings? I know I do, and I I often realize that I didn't listen to the promptings. And later I hear about the problem and situation and said, well, that's why the Lord was prompting me to pray, because they were going through a difficult time. And so when we listen to the Holy Spirit and obey those promptings, we're living by the Spirit. That's what it means to live by the Spirit. It's just simply being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is telling you about caring for others. How can I show others that I care? How can I show those in my family? How can I show my parents? How can I show my children? How can I show my friends that I have a real concern or care for them? Ask the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will give you real ways to show that you care and that you have His love in your heart for them. Because Christ hasn't just given part of Himself to us. He has given all. We have all of Him. In a second chapter of Colossians, a couple verses that have been just really meaningful to me in this area, for it tells us, in Christ, in Him, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But listen to verse 10. And you are complete in Him. You are complete in Him, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. He has made you complete in Christ. The complete person of Christ in His Holy Spirit is indwelling and empowering you as a believer every day to live a life that shows others that Jesus is truly alive, that God is truly alive. And He's chosen us as His people to show that to our world in which we live, by our actions and by our words. And we are empowered by Him to do it. So I pray today and throughout the rest of your life that you would ask the Lord very honestly, Lord, help me to see myself as You see me. Not as I see myself. That's too much what I'm looking at. But help me to see myself as You see me. As totally redeemed, bought by the blood of Your Son, Jesus, who now indwells us and empowers us to be His witnesses. Yes, to be His witnesses, to show His love, and to tell others about that love. May God enable each of us in our own way. Not trying to be somebody else, but with your own gifts, your own talents, and your own abilities that God has given you, to somehow demonstrate that to the lives of those around you. To that end, may God give you His grace. In Jesus' name, amen.